It's always a pleasure to stand before God's saints. The subject I'm going to talk about is dear to me. I've struggled with how to present it, and it's taken a long time to get the message and to get it right. Now, the subject is called Knowing the Mystery of God's Will. Knowing the Mystery of God's Will. Now, I can see Tony laughing and he's saying, oh, the guy is talking about himself now. Pastor Joel, how long do I have? 2 hours. Okay, but seriously, God wants us to know His will. It just happens to be my name, and I praise God for it. Amen. And through that, I've also been able to try and find out what it means. So, looking at it, a will, what is a will? We know about a will that somebody writes when, so that their property can be distributed to their loved ones. A will is also the capacity to choose, to determine things, to choose what you want to do. It's about choices. Do I choose to wear a red dress? Do I choose to wear, no, not that I'm going to wear it. Do I choose to wear brown shoes? The ability to choose. Where should I live? Where should I settle? What country should I go to? Who should I marry? That all comes out of someone's will. Now, they say that the will is determined. Some neurosurgeons will say it's a neurological thing, which is the brain functions, how the brain responds to stimuli. The theologians will say, well, it's a question of morals. What do I choose? Do I choose to do the right thing, the wrong thing? And even the philosophers talk about the will. But we're here to talk about the will of God. And the first thing to know is that God has a will. We're made in God's image. We've got a will. He's got a will. My message comes from 1 Ephesians, 1 verse 7 to 10. It says, in Him, I'm talking about who? Christ. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Christ. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. Who shed His blood for you? Jesus. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. Now, that He lavished on us, that He gave so generously. The riches of His grace are not just little showers, but they are lavished on you, which is in a huge quantity, in huge measure. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will. If something is made known to you, is it still a mystery? It is no longer a mystery. So it's up to you to find out what it is, because it's already revealed. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring to unity the things in heaven and on earth and Christ. So the mystery of the will of God is what God purposed to put everything in heaven, on earth, under the authority of Christ. Now, in attempting to sort of break down this message, because it's a huge message, I had to look to break it down into the particular. I looked at the name or the word God's will, then broke it down vowel by vowel, letter by letter, character by character. So let's start with G. G stands for God. Now God has a sovereign will. What does that mean? That means that God is God all by himself, and he does as he wishes. He has his will. And it says, you are worthy, Lord. I remember last week Uncle Richard, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, started reciting this verse. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. That is the creative will of God, which was there in the beginning. So he chose to create. Nobody told him to create anything. Nobody told him how things should look. When he decided to create man in his image, no one was telling him. He did it all by himself. And that is the sovereign will of God in creation. So it starts right at the beginning. Now, concerning us, it says, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to his plan, of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So in him we were chosen. Sovereignly he chose us, according to his will. When he chose us, he did what? He predestined us in conformity with his will. So he does his sovereign will. In Daniel it says, all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, as he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants on earth. And no one can ward his hand or say to him, what have you done? So when God starts doing his will, your opinion doesn't really matter. He does as he wants to do. He does in accordance with his will. And that is his sovereign will. Can we change it? No, we can't change it. It's his prerogative that makes him God. He does as he wants. Now we know from the character of God that his will is good. For he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good, not of evil. So we thank God for being a righteous God, and that his will towards us is good. So that's why we find the elders rejoicing and saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive honor because you're righteous. And when you created things, you did it so right, righteously. And he said when he created that all things were good. So that's the first aspect of the will of God, the sovereign will of God. Oh, remember, we're going through that word, God's will. We're now at all. All stands for obedience. Now you and I cannot affect the sovereign will of God, but we are called to be obedient to Him. So that's that all. God created us in His image, and we have a free will, which means we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose between right and wrong. So, and it says He wrought His moral law on our hearts. So even without the law of Moses, the law was already in our hearts. So human beings have something in them which will tell them, you are doing wrong, you are doing right. So that is the moral law which was written in the heart. And God revealed His moral law, moral will, in His law and commandments. So you find at the Mount of Sinai, God gives them commandments and statutes. That is His moral will. So that's the second aspect of the will of God, the moral will of God, which you and I are supposed to follow. To follow the will of God, to do the right thing, to choose. He says, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. Okay. Let's go on. And He says, if you keep my commands and if you remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in His love, you will remain in my love. So if we choose to obey Him and to keep His commands, we'll stay in His love. Okay, Christ Himself taught us obedience. It says He went beyond them. That's in Matthew, when He went, was about to go to the cross. It says He went a little beyond them and fell to His face and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me, yet not as I will, but as You will. So Christ did not even consider His own will, He considered His Father's will. If Christ considered His Father's will, what about you and me? Think about that. As it says, as though He was a son, He learned obedience from the things that He suffered. That's Hebrews 5:8. And it says, being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So He taught us obedience, and His obedience went all the way to the cross for you and I. Now what is D? That's all for obedience. D is for death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the will of God, D is for death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now this is how it is. The will of a person can only be read when they're dead. Is that right? You don't call the executor to start distributing the inheritance when the person is still alive, do you? No, the person has to die for his will to be put into effect. So there had to be that death, and Christ died for you and I. Let's see what it says. It says, for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant. So He is the one that is in charge of that new covenant, in between, like an advocate, like a lawyer. so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, that is the covenant of law in the Old Testament, those that have been called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. You can only inherit after someone has died. That's when their estate is distributed. So Christ has had to die for us to have that eternal inheritance. And it's all part of his will. And it says, in him we have also been chosen, having been predestined according to the plan. So in him now we have been predestined, which means there is a plan for us. According to that plan, we've been predestined by him who works everything in conformity with his the purpose of his will, in order that we who were first put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also, in Christ, when you had the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed and you were marked in him with a seal and the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to his praise, to the praise of his glory. So that's how we receive our inheritance upon his death. The next character is tricky because it's an apostrophe. How does that work? Okay, I've done my research, and an apostrophe, when it is used in English language, is for an omission. When there is an omission, they'll put an apostrophe. Or it shows the relationship between certain things. So I will say this is Mary's toy or something. So the toy belongs to Mary. So it shows relationship, and that's the definition. Now let's see how we can work with that. Omission. Now what is omission? Omission is a legal term. Is that right, Uncle Charles? We've got a lawyer in the house. Omission is a legal term, which means a failure to fulfill moral or legal obligation. Okay? And this is the verse that relates to the omissions. And as Level knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accordance with his will receive many lashes. That's not a good one, is it? So what it means is, if you know the will of God and you omit it, you know deliberately what to do, the right thing to do, you're not sinning as like breaking the commandments, but you know what is right to do and you don't do it anyway. That is called a sin of omission. And it says those who commit this will get many lashes. You don't want to get many lashes, do you? No. So let's not make these omissions. Let's do what God calls us to do. Okay. The other aspect of it is about relationship. So let's see what Jesus says about relationship. What is his measure? How does he look at relationship? I'll look at the story when Jesus' mom and brothers came over to the church, to when Jesus was praying, and they were told stories that Jesus had been in the temple and he wasn't eating for a couple of days. And people, they started saying, well, he's gone crazy. Let's go and get him. So that's the background to that story. But so the disciples said, your mother and brothers are outside. And this is how Jesus replied. But But Jesus replied, "Who's my mother? Who's my brother?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here is my mother, and my mother, and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother." So the relationship with Christ is those who do the will of God. That is the relationship. That is how we establish a relationship with Christ, by doing the will of God. Okay. So we need to be true disciples. True disciples. Because there's a very sad story. I find it very sad. Because Jesus remarks and says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." Then it says there, but they said, "You know, Lord, but we've prophesied in your name, but in your name we've done great things, cast out demons." But then he said to them, "Away from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you." It seems that they knew Jesus as Lord. But doesn't the Bible say every knee shall bow? Yes, every knee shall bow, everyone shall call him Lord. But on that day it will be more than calling him Lord. It will be about, have you done the will of God or not? That is all that will matter. And that's what Christ puts on there. So we are to search, seek, and do the will of God. Otherwise we'll end up like those people. We don't want to end up like that, do we? Now, the other part says it's relationships and the possession of something. And it says the Lord has declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, that you are to keep his commands. So we dealt with the apostrophe. That's tricky. Got over that. Let's see what S. What does S stand for? S stands for salvation, stands for sanctification, stands for suffering. We don't like suffering, do we? No. Salvation. The Lord in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some of you count as slackness." So the Lord, he knows his promise. He's not oblivious of his promise. But he's long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So salvation is the will of God. He is not willing for any to perish. We should send us to do what he asked us to do, to go out and seek those that are lost. He is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to the knowledge of him. So that's salvation. How do we deal with salvation? It says, "Therefore, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." There is a narrative that says, you know, you're saved and you just do as you wish. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. If you do as you wish, who is doing the will of the Father? So you get saved, you do the will of the Father. And you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Are you scared yet? Okay, let's go. Sanctification. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. So God says, be holy, even as I am holy. That is the will of God, that you be sanctified. It also says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. So the will of God was for us to be made holy, to be separated from our sin, and that is what he wants for us to be holy. Suffering. He says it is better to suffer if it is God's will. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than doing evil. Those who suffer according to God's will should entrust their souls to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So when you suffer according to the will of God, it's profitable. Count it as your gain, because the record of your suffering is before the Father. So that's S. W, when it comes to the will of God, is the Word of God. If you want to know the will of God, read the Word of God. Because the Word of God reveals the will of God. I looked at it and I saw the Word, the New Testament, the Old Testament. And if you look at the definition of testament, a testament, again I'll bring my uncle who's a lawyer, he will tell you that a testament is a will. Is that right? A testament is a will. So the Word of God is the will of God. So he reveals his will through his Word. What does the Bible say about knowing the Word of God? It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So we're called to understand the word. If we understand the word, we understand the will of God. It says, now this is talking about husbands and wives, and it's talking about how the husband helps sanctify the wife. So it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word of God. So what washes us, what washes our minds, what washes us, is the word of God that washes us and transforms us. Okay, that's an important verse which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the renewing of the mind happens through the Word of God. It renews us. And in a way, we've got a free will, but we know that you learn from your environment. So without free will, there is influences, which is how the society influences us. We don't have to conform to that. Using our free will, we should choose to do the will of God. So that's what he's saying there. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Through the word of God, renew your mind that you can know the will of God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. It's the word of God that sanctifies. Amen. Let's move on. And the word of God really should be the one that is guiding us and showing us where to go. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So that's W. I is for intercession. Now, to intercede is to pray. What does the word of God say? It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So pray continuously. And the second aspect there is important as well. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. An attitude of gratitude. It shows your assurance in Christ. It shows that you know that in all circumstances, God is taking care of it. Didn't he say, I know the plans I have for you? Does he not have a will for you? One of the things that stops us from entering into God is we never get to the point where we say, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. If Christ is living in you, then you will not be seeking to do your own will. You will not worry about what you will wear tomorrow, where your husband is, what kind of shoes you want to put on, whether you're going to cook sadza tonight or jollof rice. Because all those things are not important. If it is food, whatever food you eat, just glorify God for it. Okay? Don't look for the will of God in that. The will of God is in knowing that it is Christ who lives in me and looking at what Christ wants to do through you, not what you want to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? So you pray continually. It says, this is the concerning again, interceding and praying. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we have asked. Now the challenge there is to find out what the will of God is and ask in accordance with that will. So if you're asking things that are contrary to his word, and you expect the blessing of God, well, that's when people will say, well, God never answers. Of course he does. But is it in line with the will of God? If it's in line with the will of God, God is not a liar. He will answer, and you will get whatever you've asked. But if it's outside the will, you can cry, scream, and do all you want. It's not going to happen. Amen? So then, how should we pray? He teaches us how to pray. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when we come to God, we address him in his place. He is our Father in heaven. He is a Father, but He is not an earthly Father. He is our Father in heaven. And He says, my ways are not your ways. We need to learn His ways. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we come before Him and we praise Him and magnify Him before we even ask. Then, the next thing that you ask is for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God right now is being done in heaven, but it has to be done here on earth. So we should pray and we should seek to reach out so that people know about this kingdom where the will of God is done. So that there is... That was I, wasn't it? So, L is the leading of the Holy Spirit. You cannot walk into the will of God without the Holy Spirit. Because our hearts seek other things. The heart of man is desperately wicked. So we seek to gratify our flesh. But we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. So that's the L. What does the Word of God say? It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. That is the will of God. It is the Lord's will. It also says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So we need to be led by the Spirit of God. But where is this Holy Spirit leading us? Where is it leading us? What is the Holy Spirit talking about? What's this conversation? Here the Holy Spirit is called the Advocate. But we've got a mediator in Jesus Christ. We've got another mediator here in the Holy Spirit. It says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. So the Holy Spirit's job, what He's doing is pointing you to Jesus. He's just testifying. He's saying, yes, in your spirit, He's saying, yes, the Son of Man lived. Yes, He did all He was supposed to do. Yes, He purchased you. Yes, He brought you freedom. So He's confirming and pointing and leading you in the direction of Jesus. Now let's go to our last one. That is why we as well need to look at Jesus. Because that's where the Holy Spirit is pointing us to. Speak to the person next to you and tell them, it's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. So that's where we need to put our attention. So it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. It was talking about faith before, the heroes of faith who went before, who witnessed what God did. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witness. Let us lay aside the weight. Again, say to someone, lay aside the weight. Yes, there is things that wear us down, that burden us. We need to lay them aside. The sin that so easily ensnares us, let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. Looking unto who? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's all about him. It's the will of God is all about Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, in authority and in power, interceding for you and me, with plans for you and me, having predestined us for his own glory. Now, what does this say about the will of God? He says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What is your food today? What do you want to do? Is your food... What are you focusing on to sustain you? Jesus focused on doing the will of his Father. That's what fulfilled him. That's what sustained him. If Christ is living in us, then we should be focused on the Father's will and pleasing our Father and doing his will. Now, to finish, I'll leave you with this. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought us back from the dead, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. It's all about him. Even the will of God is about Jesus, glorifying his name. Thank you, God's will. Amazing.